Once again, it's always a blessing to be able to worship God on beautiful Lord's Day. And it's nice all this week to have that nice rain. At least it rains at my house. Rains on the just and unjust, it says. So I've enjoyed having the rain in the evenings. Love to sleep when it's raining at night. But we're thankful that you're with us. It's good to have the Lennoxes back with us. Glad they had a safe journey. And let's remember Nick and Molly in our prayers as they're going to be moving to Japan. And we pray for them and wish them the best from here on out. Hope they'll come back one day and visit with us if possible. But we're glad you're with us today. One of the most fascinating things to me when I was growing up was to see someone who could actually escape from something. And I remember watching the life story, the movie, of Harry Houdini. He was considered to be the greatest escape artist of his time. And many today still can't do what he did. They would put him in straitjackets. Remember, they show, you can YouTube it and watch the video of him hanging upside down, getting out of it. He would escape from other objects. It was said, history states, that there was no set of handcuffs that he couldn't get out of. People, in fact, would actually make special sets just to try to trap him. But he escaped from them all. Now, it's true that there are many people today who can still do such things. We can escape from situations. We can escape from certain places. But it's also true that there are some inescapable things. And that's what I want to notice for a few minutes with you this morning, because the Bible talks about a few things that are inescapable. We might be ignorant of them. We might disbelieve them. We might even reject them. But that doesn't do away with them. You might even try to ignore them. And yet, they will be there. Let's notice some things that we cannot escape. When you look in the Bible, one of the first things we notice is you can't escape the all-seeing eye of God. The wise man in Proverbs 15:3 put it, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Now, some people want to escape from God, but if you think about it, since he's deity, where are you going to go? Remember Jonah? He tried to flee from the presence of God, but he couldn't. In fact, I like what David said in Psalms 139. If you look there in verses 7 through 10, he also stated this truth. He said, "Whether shall I go from thy spirit, or whether shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in," some translations have Sheol there, "behold, thou art there." Verse 9, "If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." So we can't escape God's presence. He sees us. Now, oftentimes we can hide from parents when we're kids. We can hide from children. We can hide from other Christians, and oftentimes we do. We try to. I remember when you think about how powerful God is, how all-knowing God is, and omnipresent, it kind of staggers your mind. He knows what we're going to think before we think it, knows what we're going to say before we say it, and he even knows where we're going to go before we take those steps. Since this fact is true, since I know that it's impossible to escape the all-seeing eye of God, What should I do? Well, that means I ought to live my life in such a way that I don't have to worry. It's like when you're a child. I know none of you ever did this, did we? Do something that mama said not to do when she wasn't looking. But if she was looking, oh no, we wouldn't do it. But mama always knew, didn't she? Isn't that amazing? See, God always knows. When you feel the safest, when you think nobody else is going to find out, God knows. That ought to humble us. And then we can't escape having an influence on others. Now, the Spirit, through Paul in 2 Corinthians 3:2, he said, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." He was writing there to the church at Corinth. And as Christians, we all have someone watching us. Even if you're not a Christian, there's someone watching you. You don't know it. Oftentimes, we don't. But especially if we're Christians, we have influence. It may be good, but it may be bad also. I remember growing up, one of the things my parents always drilled into my brother and sister and me, when we would leave, get ready to go somewhere, they would say, "Remember who you are." Now, I'll admit, when I was just a little fella, that kind of made me question if they really thought I was smart or not sometimes. I thought, why would I forget who I am, Mother? But I understood as I got older, they were talking about influence. I carried it a little further. I would tell my own children, not only remember who you are, but I would say, remember, when they see you, they see me. So when our girls would go outside to play, I would say, don't run around screaming your heads off. Because people will look back and say, what's wrong with those Clifford girls? And that's the way it is when we're a Christian. Jesus understood the power of influence. Now remember, it can be good or it can be bad, can't it? Remember what he said in Matthew 5? After he said in verse 13 to be salt, he said in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." Verse 15, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." See, that's influence. If we're living, as Jesus says, out in the world, we're not only going to be salt, but we're going to be light, as we just read. Light dispels darkness, doesn't it? You get up in the middle of the night, it's nice to have some kind of light so you can see. And as Christians, since everyone has influence, and Jesus tells us how we're to be, well, that ought to affect the way we talk, shouldn't it? Where we go, the way we act. Because somebody's following us. Someone is trying to copy, whether it's actually flattering sometimes when you think about it, when someone impersonates someone. You don't see it much, except maybe if someone's an Elvis Presley impersonator or Dean Martin impersonator. But as Christians, we have to be careful that the way we're living is not going to cause someone else to lose their soul. People put their faith and trust in people oftentimes. And I always say, people will let you down. But yet, we have to be extremely careful. In essence, when you think about what Jesus is saying, that's what gave me the idea when I would say to my girls, "Remember, when they see you, they see me." That's really what Jesus is saying, isn't it? The word Christian means Christ-like. He's saying, when they see you, they see me. People ought to see Christ, what he's like, from us, if we're living as we should. I always think of the prodigal son, and we hear a lot of sermons on the prodigal son, but think of all the people he influenced for wrong. We're not told how long he was gone. Now, we focus on him coming back. That's a good influence, repentance. But have you ever considered how many that followed his bad example? And then we can't escape the consequences of sin. Galatians 6, 7 and 8 plainly teaches us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now he tells us, for he that soweth to the flesh, shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit, shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now this principle holds true in the vegetable kingdom, the animal kingdom, and the spiritual kingdom. One thing I really miss is my grandmother's fried okra. Now, you say anybody can fry okra. Oh, no. Not everybody can fry okra. My wife does a good job. But my grandmother, oh, I miss her okra. She had a garden. And we all understand this principle. Children do. If you want to plant okra, you don't plant green beans, do you? You can't take a green bean seed and expect to get okra. You reap what you sow. And spiritually, it is the same way. We mentioned this morning in our Bible class some of the works of the flesh. For instance, if I choose to become a slave to alcohol, well, it's going to affect me spiritually. It's going to damn my soul because I can't go to heaven if I'm a drunkard. It's going to hurt my body, dull my senses, dull my mind. But God lets us choose. And we reap what we sow. There are consequences. But we have to realize sin only leads to one place. And I always try to remember Romans 6:23, where we're told by Paul, for the wages of sin is death. Now that's spiritual death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So I'm going to reap, you're going to reap what we sow. And every day, we're planting something. You could tie this back into influence if you wanted to. We're planting seeds for good or bad. And we're going to suffer the consequences of it. Either which way, we may be rewarded, we may suffer. But then something else. You're not going to escape your appointment with death. Now, I have Hebrews 9:27 here because it says, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. I don't know if you're like this, but my parents are retired now, and I tell them they have to be retired. Otherwise, they could never make all these doctor visits they have. They'll tell me how many doctor visits they have. They plan them out. And they're basically, Daddy says they're going to the doctor every other day. He said, I don't know what we did when we worked. I said, well, you had to retire so you could go to the doctor every other day. Have you ever had an appointment you couldn't make and you canceled it? I did years ago with one of my children. I canceled their doctor's appointment. They called me back, though, and said, oh, you didn't give us 24 hours and we're going to charge you. I didn't like that. But I paid it. Same doctor, months later, getting the child ready to go to the doctor, they called me and said, look, we're going to have to cancel the appointment. I said, well, I'm going to have to charge you. My time's important too. Have you ever broken an appointment? See, the handwriting when it comes to death is on the wall, isn't it? For every one of us. Death only comes once. It never fails to get its victim. Since the day we were born, it's been coming towards us. It's coming towards you. It's coming towards me. Doesn't matter if I'm awake or I'm asleep. If I'm in the city or country, if I'm on the land or sea, it is on my trail. It's on your trail. And guess what? One day, it's going to overtake me. It's going to overtake you. You're going to keep that appointment. You might cancel all types of appointments in life, but not this one. The wise man talked about this. Ecclesiastes, the 7th chapter, verse 2. He said, it is better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all men, and the living will lay it to his heart. So we lay it to our heart because when we think about death, it makes us think about where we're going to live eternally. It makes us think about our souls, doesn't it? Parents need to teach their children that death is a part of life. I know people that they won't carry their children to funerals. They don't need to see that, they say. Man, I went to funerals from the time I was just a little fella. And if I went to spend time with the grandfather that was a preacher, you might go twice in 1 week. There's a lot of people dying in the world. And see, we lay it to our heart by making sure we are ready. Because it's coming. We don't want to think about it, but it is. You know, when I first came here, if you've done any talking to people or studying with people in your life, teaching or preaching, sometimes you'll be in a home study, and when someone learns the truth about their lost, you see it in their face. Sometimes when you're preaching, you'll look out in the audience and you can tell someone is distraught, they're lost, and they realize it. A light bulb goes off. When they first carried me out to Paris Island, about every face I saw out there was that. They thought they were going to die. And I made the statement to people before, when they would ask me about that work before we were shut out of the base because of COVID, I would say, if only I could get people in the pew to have that look in their eyes. But see, we don't do that, do we? We feel good, most of us. You might have an ache or pain, but you don't think you're going to die. Maybe later, but not today. See, carry your child to funerals. Let them understand that death is a part of life. Really, the only day we're promised is today. Remember James 4:14? He said, whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. So since it's true that I have to keep this appointment with death, doesn't it make sense that I ought to prepare for it? A wise person would. And one last thing you can't escape. You can't escape the judgment. Now remember, the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this is the judgment. See, there's a time period in there, isn't there? The final judgment, 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul talked about, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We sing the song, there's a great day coming. I love that song. And it's true, though, isn't it? There is a great day coming. And one day we'll hear the trump, as 1 Corinthians 15 talks about. The trumpet will sound. The dead in Christ will rise, and those that are living will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll meet the Lord in the air. And we're going to go be judged. Every one of us. Jesus, in Matthew 25 and 31 and 32, said, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations. Again, there's that word all. And he shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. You may not want to think about it. You may not want to dwell on it, but you're going to be there. I'm going to be there. We can't escape it. It's going to happen. John gives us another picture of it in Revelation 20, verse 12. He said, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Can you imagine that day that we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the greatest judge? All these people that the world considers famous and important, God is no respecter of persons. We're all going to be there. And we're going to be judged on the fact of whether or not we have obeyed the Lord. You'll notice there it says the book of life. This time of year, if you want to get a seat at a restaurant, since there's so many people vacationing, you're going to eat. Sometimes you might call ahead. You want to get a reservation if they take reservations. If not, they just take your name. Still, that's better than just waiting an hour and a half. We understand our name being somewhere on a roll at school from the time we're a child, in a restaurant, an appointment somewhere. That's really a reservation you've made. You've picked a time and a place. My question to you is your name in the book of life? Do you know for sure if it is? Because if it's not, if I go to a restaurant today, after I've called in, and they go, "Sir, we can't find your name in here." Well, I've got a problem. I'm not eating there today, am I? Same way with the doctor. Well, I'm in the judgment. My name can be blotted out. Your name can be blotted out. If you're not a Christian, you're not ready for death, and you're certainly not ready for the judgment. But you can be. If you, by faith, believe you're lost, believe in Jesus, and you repent, you change your mind, and you change the way you're walking and living in this life, if you have the courage to confess Jesus is Son of God, and then you follow through and you put Him on in baptism. Galatians 3:27 talks about, verse 26 says, "For you're children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." And he says, "For as many of you as been baptized into Christ." All the others are unto, but not baptism. It's into. And in Christ is where all spiritual blessings are found. Your name will be put in the book of life. But you have to remain faithful, don't you? Because it can be blotted out. Is your name in the book of life this morning? Now, I'll say, since the Bible says we can't escape these things, old Rufus wants to make sure that his name is there. A wise person understands when you read what the Bible says about the reward. It's something I want. I'm sure you want. I've never met anybody except one person in my life that didn't want to go to heaven. But I'll tell you another place, I don't want to go to hell either. Go home and read about that. What will you do this morning? We prepare for so many things. Nick told me all his books are packed already. They're moving. You're prepared for that. They're prepared. Whatever you're doing, you're prepared. The Lennoxes just got back from a trip. I bet before they went and before they came home, they prepared. You're not accidentally going to get to heaven. Let me tell you that. So if you're not ready, if you're not prepared, that's what heaven is. It's a prepared place for prepared people. You'll only have yourself to blame. I hope everyone here is ready. I hope everyone here is living as God would have them to. But if you're not a Christian, or maybe you are, but you're not living right, I hope you'll make the corrections. As Brother Willie leads us in this song, if you need any help, if you need to get right with the Lord, today's the day. It's the only day. That's the word of the Bible. We're not promised another day. If we can help you in any way, I pray you'll make sure you're right with the Lord and come as we stand and sing.